From APM, this is the Dinner Party Download, your audio culture atlas. Subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. It's time for our weekly etiquette lesson.
Yes, each week you send us your questions about how to behave, and here to answer them this time around is Prentice Penny. He's yes. the showrunner for HBO's Golden Globe-nominated series Insecure. He also wrote for network comedy shows like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Scrubs, and Happy Endings. And on his new series, he steps in front of the camera.
That's right. It's a show called Upscale with Prentice Penny, where he learns how to live the good life, from how to make a perfect burger to how to pick a perfect suit. Last week, before Brendan skipped town, he and I welcomed Prentice like this. Prentice, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, man.
We are so happy you're here, but we have to say we thought we had the greatest job, where we get to talk to smart people and eat good food, yeah. but you really have the greatest job, right?
Yeah. Was the pitch I want to get
the pitch
nice
is like,
stuff?
How do I just do baller stuff?
Good job.
Can I get $8 million to just basically drink champagne?
Yeah.
We have to address the elephant in the room. There's this huge political discussion going on right now about income inequality, haves and have-nots. Here you are with the show celebrating upscale living. How does it fit with the times?
Well, really, I mean, even more so. I mean, the interesting thing about the show is not about money, right? It's just about sometimes having information and just doing better. So, for example, like I grew up, like a lot of us, we just go to the grocery store, we grab some hamburger meat, go home, make hamburgers, that's kind of it. Or just grab some American cheese and blah, 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 you're done. I had never heard of a Whole Foods, like up until 10 years ago. I was like, what's that? But then you start to learn about, like, I could go to get a steak from a butcher, that's like a couple of bucks more, but the quality of all that stuff is gonna be a million times better. And I learned it had nothing to do with money. Sometimes the prices are comparable. It's like you're already buying a bottle of wine, right? But it's just knowing maybe more about how wine is made and what fits your palate. It's actually, sometimes it helps you on the money side because you're not feeling like you have to spend a bunch of money to get better quality stuff.
Sure.
I can think of a few other TV showrunners who have made the move in front of the camera. Larry David is one of them. Larry Wilmore maybe is another. They're all named Larry for some reason. I'm wondering...
Yeah, you're the first non-Larry Prentice.
Yeah.
Well, I'm making it.
You're changing the paradigm.
Here we go.
What maybe surprised you about being on camera?
What really surprised me was, you know, you see guys like Mario Lopez and Ryan Seacrest, and you're just like, they seem cheesy. Yeah. Like, that. You're just like, that's not a job. You're just like, whatever. And when you have to do it...
It's hard.
It seems like it's not hard. It's hard.
What was the hardest thing for you?
The hardest thing was, here was the hard thing that I had to learn. I had to learn to experience the moment because I'm used to being on set and an actor will say a line and I'm scribbling the note of like, oh, I want to change this, or I have a pitch on this joke right now. And I was talking with people, they'd say something funny or do something, and I was thinking of the bit that I could do or thinking of a response, thinking too much and not experiencing the thing, you know? I just learned to start having conversations, which weirdly in our culture right now, people rarely have conversations.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, now you can empathize with how I was only half listening to you just then.
I totally get it.
I was listening to you, but I was also looking ahead about how we can transition to our etiquette questions.
Come on, I'm married. I'm used to that. I'm used to being half listened to.
All right. So then are you ready for our listeners' questions?
I'm ready.
Yeah, that was a good segue. Right.
That was a good segue.
So this first question comes from JR in LA. And the question is, I like the smell of cigars in moderation, but they are so pungent up close. Mm-hmm. How much space should a cigar smoker put between him or herself and unsuspecting bystanders, say, at a park?
Oof. Yeah. There's lots of things happening there. First off, it seems like you don't like cigars, so...
Well, he likes the smell of them.
He likes the smell. Well, that's his
tricky
thing.
But not up close.
Not up close. So is he smoking them in this situation, or he's saying... Other people are smoking.
I think other people are smoking them nearby.
I would say take your left leg, take a step, take your right leg, take a step, and keep stepping until you no longer smell the cigars.
But I think the question then is it his responsibility to do that? He's not the smoker. He's an innocent bystander.
He's just chilling there. He's just chilling.
Wandering through the park.
Just keep wandering, man. Just keep wandering.
I know.
Keep
park's
wandering.
Tough.
It's tough.
Because I don't like secondhand smoke, but a park is an area outside.
Actually, though, I don't even know. Here in California, are parks off limits to smoking? Could you call
the
police?
I don't know. It's so, everything is, it's changing so fast.
But I will say, but cigars, let's be honest, cigars are like the tractor trailer of the cigarette kingdom. Like, they're huge.
They are.
They pollute.
They are.
And Don't you get the sense when you walk behind someone smoking a cigar that they know that they're annoying everyone? It feels a little.
But if I think about how much he spent on that cigar, God bless you. Mm. Smoke that thing. That thing could have cost $25.
Isn't that even worse? You've got this expensive thing and you're just showing off how terrible you can make life for everyone else with
it. He's still driving a Hummer.
Yeah, it's more like
The Hummer of the cigarette world.
Exactly.
That's a good point. But you know what? You should be able to drive your Hummer anywhere you want.
I agree. If you pony that thing up and you're paying for the gas.
Certainly in America, that seems to be okay. So there you go, JR. I guess this.
Just keep walking, man.
All right, here's something from Maya in Henderson, Nevada. And Maya asks, my friend always sends me 7 little text messages when one big one would do.
That's so real.
It is, in all caps, so annoying, 3 exclamation points. I have stopped responding to her, but I think I need a better strategy for letting her know it bugs me.
Oof.
Something better than passive aggression.
Maya's tough.
I would say your best thing would be send 8 little texts. Mm-hmm. Saying all the ways, sending 7 little texts is annoying.
Yeah.
And then
one word in each text.
And one word period in each text.
Yeah.
You're generating empathy by doing that.
Yes. I'll say this, though. Sometimes you send short text messages to let people know that you're communicating with them as opposed to taking time to draw up one long text.
They're trying to engage you in a conversation rather than just bombarding you with info.
That's right.
But I do think once you get past 4 texts and the person hasn't responded, it's like,
Chill out.
Maybe they're doing something.
Maya, I think you got your answer.
That's etiquette.
Here's something from Andy in Chicago, Illinois. Andy writes, I have a coworker who frequently misuses slang terms. Words like...
Oh, this is going to be bad.
Words like shade
and
even ratchet. How do I even tell her that she's not using these words correctly? Should I sit her down and educate her or just let her continue to do her thing?
First off, I'm going to guess that both of those people are white. I'm going to just go out on a limb and say, for sure the person saying the terms is white. Yeah. I know that.
Yes, I heard this on a show.
I saw Insecure, and I watch Atlanta. I saw 20 minutes of Queen Sugar, and I know something.
I'm going to deploy these words now.
I'm going to drop these things.
Stop throwing Venetian blinds on me. I mean, shade.
No. Isn't that right? So what does she do? Andy do?
You know what? I always feel the best thing is letting them get publicly embarrassed.
Okay.
So I would find a situation in which I would bring around a person of color and just like kind of make, not get them to say it, but make them feel comfortable that they can say it. And then watch them be embarrassed. Because that's almost the best teach tool. It's like my kids. Like, they're only going to learn if they break their arm. If you tell them, don't jump off the fence, they're going to not listen. You need to let them break their... She might need to get slapped at work. It just might need to happen.
Isn't that a little cowardly, though? You're now going to foist this responsibility off
Rico, this is from a man who breaks his children's limbs to teach them lessons. So I don't think he's worried about cowardly.
I guess we got the answer we deserve.
Well, Andy, perhaps that answer is too ratchet for you, but let us know. Let us know how it works out. Do not throw shade on our dear program. Prentice, thanks so much for telling our audience how to behave.
You're welcome, man.
Prentice Penny, his new show is called Upscale with Prentice Penny. It airs on True TV, and he also helms the HBO show Insecure, for which star Issa Rae earned a Golden Globe nomination.
And people, if you're confronted with an etiquette dilemma you just can't solve without the help of a famous person, email us about it. Seriously, head over to dinnerpartydownload.org and click contact.